Welcome to our podcast. I'm Jess.
I'm Mandy.
And we're Drama Bonded. Off the top, I want to apologize for last week. Mandy and I had recorded a very good episode, and then Saul and I, together as a group, really fucked up, and like it led to the deletion of the episode. So we're sorry. We learned it'll never happen again that way. Anyway, how are you doing, Mans?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. It's been kind of a ridiculous week. I'm glad that it's over.
I feel like I'm still in my ridiculous week.
You want to talk about it at all, or do you want to?
No, not today.
Okay, that's totally fair. We don't have a candy review for you. We are running low on candy options available, so we might just start reviewing things food-wise that we are enjoying.
Yeah, food or beverage items.
Yeah. So stay tuned for next week. We're going to quickly touch base on what we had talked about on Vanderpump last week and then give our impressions of The Valley two episodes in. And then we'll move to Vanderpump where...
You guys, I feel like we actually had an episode.
Yeah, things are really happening now. So there's juicy bits. It's not just the same conversations with Tom over and over.
Yeah. Well, going back to, what was it, episode 8?
Yeah.
I believe the text I sent you said, this episode is a snooze fest until Jax comes into the room and lights everyone on fire.
Yeah, Jax is never a delight unless all of his ire is focused solely at Sandoval. And then it turns out I love Jax Taylor.
I mean, so they bring Jax Taylor in on the end of the episode as a natural segue into The Valley because The Valley aired after this episode. And Bravo has done this multiple times to like lead viewers into new shows. This is actually how Vanderpump Rules came about, was that it was a transition from, I believe, Beverly Hills Housewives into Vanderpump Rules because Sheena at the time was having an affair with Brandy Glanville's husband.
Yeah, who then left both of them for Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, so I believe, and I haven't seen the episode, but I believe that like there might have been some sort of conversation between Brandy and Sheena about the affair on Beverly Hills Housewives, maybe in Sur.
Yes, and actually, I watched that conversation. Sheena loves to make things about Sheena, and absolutely nothing has changed from then until now.
I think it's just getting worse.
I agree. Yeah, she really tried to play the card with Brandy that she was blindsided and sad that that had happened to her. It's like, maybe Brandy isn't your audience.
I don't think that that's the woman that's going to hold any remorse for you.
No. No, so Sheena being Sheena.
Yeah, so anyways, Bravo does this. They did it with Vanderpump and Summer House, and now they're doing it with Vanderpump and The Valley. It was interesting to see Jax Taylor back in the swing of things, and I have to say he has not changed at all.
No, you've got to hand it to these people for their consistency. Jax is Jax minus his face.
And Jax also seems to think that he has all of his shit together and really likes to hold that over people.
Yeah, and he doesn't. Because I think as of now, he and Brittany are not living together. So,
yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
But I really did enjoy having him come in and shake things up just because up until, I would say, this episode that we're about to review today, nothing has happened this season. We've had some uncomfortable conversations with Sandoval. We're exhausted with that scenario. It feels like the group feels very fragmented and nobody actually wants to spend time together. And so I feel like we've just been kind of like pittering along. And then I just was really grateful for him to come in like a wrecking ball and just shake shit up.
And to call Tom Sandoval literally a disgrace.
Yes.
And you know that it got under Sandoval's skin. Like, he did not want shit from Jax.
Yeah.
And I love that he just had to sit there and take his medicine.
Yeah, and him saying, like, I don't have to humble myself to you, Jax. And you know what's interesting is in the history of these men's friendships, there has been a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I thought this was a very poignant moment.
Yeah, who's the number one guy?
It's not Sandoval.
Ugh, no, it is not. It's also probably not Jax Taylor, though.
I think it might be James this season.
James. Yeah, he's really bringing the group together. So that's kind of episode 8 of Vanderpump.
Yeah, I honestly don't even remember what happened.
Well, Ariana showed up to the Belmont.
Oh, yeah.
So that
Tom took a shit at the Belmont.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about Tom taking a shit on that, but the show seemed to focus on that more than made sense. And I love poop humor, but I don't want to hear where the Tom's poop.
Well, apparently, if you need to go, the Belmont has a great bathroom for it.
Ringing endorsement, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Valley so far? We're 2 episodes in. It feels forever. It is a lot.
Okay, so my first impression, and I don't know, I went in with very low expectations. So that's that. I will say that first. I really enjoyed the first episode, and I think it's twofold. One, because it's in contrast of this season of Vanderpump Rules, where nothing is happening.
Right.
And I would say in the first episode, it was good energy and a lot happened. And the second thing I will say is the thing that is drawing me towards it is the energy with the group of people is very much similar to the beginning of Vanderpump Rules, where you can tell that all of these people have been friends for years and all of their interactions are very much what they would be because they are a normal friend group.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, we're just going to plug and play these people in these different scenarios and make them have these arbitrary relationships for television. It feels believable that it's a group of friends and they're a messy group of friends. And I feel like that usually is a good recipe for good television.
Yeah, I will say that I enjoyed that aspect of it. It was a little stressful at the start. I don't know how I feel about these people having kids and being parents. I certainly have no legs to stand on to judge, but it's, ooh, you guys.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it is, you know, it's easy watching 20 or 30 somethings without kids be messy. But when all of a sudden they're responsible adults caring for, you know, little babies, it does change your perspective on the messiness a little bit.
For sure. Who got stuck under the couch?
Oh, it was Cruz.
Cruz somehow stuck under a couch. I'm sure kids get stuck under couches. It just made me laugh. Like, there are those moments that, like, kind of sobering of, like, oh, they're kids. I'm really sad to see Brittany and Jax's faces with, like, all the plastic surgery they had. I feel like they are truly, like, Jax, OG Jax, is a very good-looking dude. Not really, because I know how much of a dirtbag he is, but, like, if we ignore everything.
He was conventionally attractive.
For sure.
Personality aside.
And Brittany, stunning.
So cute.
And now Brittany's mouth does not make normal shapes. And I'm sad about that because it's also really hard to look past when she's talking.
I'm hoping it's just because she's still healing from the weird plastic surgery she had to remove the extra chin that she was complaining about. So maybe she just hasn't healed all the way and she'll be able to, like, have full range of motion of her lips and mouth.
I sure hope so.
But watching her in the second episode where, you know, it's farther post-surgery than the first episode, and she's not even able to, like, smile or form words correctly. I could not stop staring.
No, I couldn't either. It was a little. It was a lot distracting.
It was hard to watch.
It was. Especially just knowing how beautiful of a person she is and how it just feels like all of that's so unnecessary. And it's a reminder that plastic surgery isn't a guarantee to go correctly. And surgery's a risk. And it's like, girl, why? Don't take risks.
I never thought, like, twice about your double chin. I mean, I know we all have our own insecurities that we are hyper aware of that other people may not notice. And, you know, if it's really that big of a deal and you have the money and want to fix it, then I guess do it.
But, for sure.
I also think just, like, take into account maybe what it means to you versus, like, the way you think people are perceiving you.
Yeah.
And sometimes those things are not always the same.
Right. Yeah. That's hard to watch. Kristen Doty back on our TV screens.
I'm here for it. I think Kristen always brings a delightful, trashy element of, like, I don't give a fuck drama.
Absolutely.
And I just feel like she's always been very consistently herself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think Kristen will bring some good television. I already think the storyline between her and Luke wanting to have a baby is very interesting. And it's hilarious that Jax hates Luke because he thinks that Luke is just, you know, it's just another guy that Kristen's going to, like, fuck up with, and he's going to leave, and he doesn't even live in LA. And I'm looking at Luke, and I think that this is the first normal person that Kristen's ever been in a relationship with.
Yeah, he seems so far like, yeah, a normal dude, and also somebody who has, like, a strong sense of defending their partner and showing up for them in ways that matter. And that is something that men in these shows are sorely lacking most of the time.
Yeah.
So I love Luke so far. I think this is good.
Yeah, very limited exposure to him, but he seems calm, grounded, mature.
Even when he's angry, he's measured. He's like, okay, we're going to talk about this. No titty twisters to Kristen. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Versus punching somebody, which I honestly feel like he'd probably be well within his rights to do.
Yeah, getting in some drunk altercation.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's not screaming. He's not yelling. And then when Jax showed up with Kristen's ex.
Oh my gosh.
Fuck Jax Taylor. We're back to hating him. Nobody likes Jax.
No. And we're also not surprised.
No. Yeah, I thought it was weird that Jax, seemingly only after inviting Alex to guys' night, recognized that maybe he fucked up.
But his friends told him that was a shitty idea.
And then Brittany was also defending it, which is where it got even more weird, of just, like, the two scenes happening simultaneously of girls' night and guys' night, and Brittany being like, well, what do you expect?
Like, you're not there. And Kristen's like, yeah, but my boyfriend is.
Yeah, and this is clearly a guy who is shady as shit, convincing Kristen to sell that adorable house.
Oh my gosh, when he was listing out all the things, and sorry, massive air quote fingers, you can't see, but when he was listing out all the things that he's done for Kristen to Jax, and he was like, yeah, man, I know. And Jax was just eating it up. Like, fuck you, Jax.
Yeah.
Be a friend to Kristen.
Yeah, he is one of the most misogynistic people I think I've ever witnessed on television. Like, it just, if it comes out of a man's mouth, it's fine. If a woman is saying it, that's when Jack suddenly has a healthy dose of skepticism, except it's not healthy. It's the most fucked up thing.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and watching Jax project his ideas on whether Kristen is ready to be a mother or not under her, and how he's like, you're not ready, and what about, like, are you going to do this out of wedlock and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, it is not your place to tell any woman if she's ready to be a mother or not. It also is entirely Kristen's choice. And I did really appreciate their one friend, is it Jason? Mm-hmm. Who was like, I think Kristen would make a great mom.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not open for debate. And then I think, you know, Kristen bringing up the fact that she's 40 and that conceiving a child at this age can be really difficult, and the pain of having to constantly defend, one, her position on wanting to be a mother, and then also the fact that it just is difficult for her to talk about right now because she's not even sure she will be able to get pregnant. Like, there's just, it's awful to watch. It makes me sad for Kristen, and I really hope she is, I don't know. I don't think she's pregnant. We haven't heard anything.
She just needs support.
She does. That's all she needs from her friends is support. And until she's asking for an opinion, everybody needs to shut the fuck up.
Well, and I'm sorry, but if we have Lala over here, you know, having a baby from a sperm donor, I just feel like women can make their own decisions, and they can be independent, and they can play this role of single mom if that's what they want. And not saying that Kristen's going to be a single mom, but if she has a man who's willing to, like, step forward and be like, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm willing to do this with you, that is Kristen's decision to trust him.
Yeah, nobody else's. Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Anyways.
The valley is messy.
I just feel like at least things are happening in it.
Absolutely. Well, do we want to move into Vanderpump?
Oh my God, you guys, so much happened in this episode.
Wow. Yeah, it was juicy from the drop. So we start with James and Allie, and then you know, getting ready for the DJ night, and we find out that Allie invited Joe.
Yeah, Allie is really, I feel like she's kind of serving as the character that Ariana used to be, where she's kind of just like Switzerland and like trying to be nice to everyone.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised James's response. He's like, good, we should invite everybody. When I'm DJing, it's open to everyone. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah, well, all right, here's how we're going to get everybody together naturally. People going to support James.
Yeah.
We transition to Lala and Schwartz at the juice shop.
Yeah, Schwartz is on a sober bender, meaning he's not done any drugs or alcohol for 3 days, and he's just doing a bunch of healthy stuff, I guess.
A sober bender is bizarre.
Yeah, I don't think you need to call it a sober bender. It's just like, oh, I'm not drinking for a few days.
Yeah, and these people seem to really miss the mark on who their audience is, and it just feels like sober for so many years, Lala is not the person, but maybe she is. I don't know. It was weird.
I wouldn't be telling someone who had been sober for multiple years that I'm on a sober 3-day bender.
Yeah, the language around it was just weird. It was such just, it was a bad vibe. I was not impressed by Schwartz making these jokes and trying to talk to Lala about this. Like, it feels too much. I don't know. Like, Schwartz, what else do you have going on in your life, buddy?
I also don't know if he was coming off of an actual bender, because I swear something about his complexion looked off in this scene. Like, he was in a great mood. He had high energy. It was kind of good to see, like, a happy Schwartz for once. But also, I was like, why do you look kind of pale with, like, dark circles under your eyes?
Yeah. Well, he's been having a rough go. I think being so closely connected to Sandoval is kind of tough.
Yeah.
But who knows? Schwartz does give the tea when he says that he and Sheena made out years ago in Las Vegas.
And Lala did like a double take.
Oh, yeah. Lala's face.
What?
It also is so funny to me that Schwartz just could not read the room. That like Lala was just floored by all of this. This was not going well for Schwartz.
Well, I don't know what he expected.
I don't either.
I think he thought that he would just like casually say it, and it was like, oh, this happened forever ago, and haha, that's like a funny thing. And then, but with women, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You did what 10 years ago? With who? And were
come
you,
again?
Were you with Katie?
Yeah. Well, Sheena was engaged to Shay. Yeah, Katie and Tom were very much together. Lala then immediately is like, gonna tell Katie.
Of course.
Yeah. Katie's unimpressed. I also thought it was so interesting that Lala was like, whoa, I've got to talk to Katie before Sheena can dress this down. And I was like, I thought you guys were homies. Like, you, what, why?
It's very confusing where Lala's loyalties lie this season. Lala is kind of, I think, just following whatever direction will give her more of a storyline and gives her more relevancy. I feel like Lala is just following that.
Yeah, and that's such a bummer. She's losing me. I'm just not here for any of it. I felt like
Lala pissed me the fuck off this episode. I don't know what she's doing.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I was also a little bit shocked that she was going to tell Katie. Like, I do get it, but I was also just like, oh, man, she's mostly because of the Sheena angle. Like, aren't you guys? Yeah, I don't know. It's not a good look for Lala all around, of just like no loyalties at all.
I don't think Lala has loyalties to anyone. And I think Lala is usually operating in a place of like, how does this benefit me? And mm-hmm. How do I make good television?
Which we do appreciate, but that also doesn't make you a likable person.
Well, it has in the past. But this season, I feel like it's really inconsistent with what we've seen Lala go hard for in the past.
Well, and the stakes are a little higher too, right? Like, there's actual real world consequences beyond just drunken hookups. The things are more complicated now and matter a little more
yeah.
as they get older. So to see her not age with that is really disappointing. Everybody gets together at Hotel Ziggy for James.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was a night. I thought the women really brought the fashion in this scene.
Yeah, they did. I wish Sheena had just like tucked her boobs up under a little better of her dress, but her dress was very fun.
I loved Lala's like weird neon naked woman body dress.
I remember seeing a photo from this at like that night must have happened, and the next day they posted a photo because yeah, all of them just look phenomenal. Allie in the pink dress,
Ariana in like the bodycon,
yeah, the
Katie with the diamond shoes,
right, and Lala with also a bodycon body,
yeah,
dress, like yeah, they were smoking
fire,
loved it. I did not love Sheena's treatment of Joe.
I just don't know why I don't know why she went so hard on the hat. It's just like, dude, sit the fuck down. It's her hat. She can make whatever fashion choice she wants. Like, let Joe just be Joe.
I was with Lala that if somebody had tried to reach over and knock a hat off my head or tried that behavior, I would have absolutely punched them. Like, don't fucking touch people. Just don't. Like, keep your hands to yourself, Sheena. And that was Sheena. Joe is such an interesting person. We found out a little bit more that not only did she know about the affair, but was spending Thanksgiving with Ariana.
Yeah, and was on the Big Bear trip and all of that.
And listen, I don't think Joe should be held accountable in the ways that they're trying to hold her accountable, but I also feel like Joe should recognize that she definitely has to work on the relationship with the women if she thinks that she's going to be around. Like, she really owes some apologies and some conversations,
yeah,
and she's not doing it. I don't think it justifies the treatment of her because that's a lot. But also, like, as you pointed out before we started, she's not innocent, but whoa,
I think
is it a lot?
You said that right. I think, unfortunately, Joe entered a messy circumstance very messily.
Yes.
And I think that she's kind of playing... either she's naive or she's playing dumb. I don't know, but she has to know why these women are mad at her. And I don't think that, like, it doesn't justify the angry tweets or like the group bullying. But I do think that if you recognize that, like, how hurt Ariana is in this whole affair and everything that's going on, and that you were like in her home playing a part of that, and that maybe, you know, the way she handled the Katie thing was like really fucked up. So I think like you can at least acknowledge that you've hurt someone and just say, I validate your experience. I'm really apologize that I was a part of your pain, and I really want to move forward in like a better way with you. And I want to give you like respect your boundaries. And if you are ever ready to like have a conversation with me, I'm open to it.
Right. And I think there's a way that Joe can show up and interact with everybody and not have to be BFFs with all,
yes,
of them. But also, Joe's not done any work to make that happen either. So,
yeah. And her kind of being the extreme version of herself and plugging her ears and acting like everything that is happening is extreme, which it is. But like, she's also kind of playing into the whole issue. And so I think both sides are at fault in their own way.
Yeah, I agree. But I need Sheena to never do that again.
Yeah. I mean, Sheena should not do a lot of things again.
That's also true. We could do like a whole podcast series on how not to be based just off Sheena.
I think Joe looks really good in a hat. I personally am like very much attracted when women tend to dress a little bit more masculine. And I think Joe really pulls it off.
Yeah, she did. And Sheena's whole trying to justify it. Well, she's a hairdresser. It's like, okay, but if she wants to wear a fucking hat, wear the hat. And the hat did look good on her.
Yeah.
It was a good hat.
I mean, it's kind of annoying as a Tom hat, but yeah.
Well, she's a Tom girl. We know this.
I know, and that's annoying too.
For sure. But I also think Joe's in an unwinnable spot, right? Like, the women aren't going to let her in, and she shows up with Schwartz. Like, who's she supposed to go with? Like, the people who at least are accepting her and where she can be comfortable? Or does she, like, have to go be miserable and try and, like...
Well, I don't like seeing her show up with Schwartz either, because it's obvious that she's super into Schwartz, and Schwartz is just, like... what it seems like, wanting to just be friends and maybe fuck her when it's convenient.
Ugh.
So yeah, I also don't love her being on the show to be Schwartz's friend.
No, she actually probably just needs to get off the show.
Yeah, like, and now we know Schwartz has a girlfriend.
Who is in her 20s.
So I'm just saying, the whole Joe storyline is just not fun to watch.
No, it's not. I'm not sure why it just, ugh. Yeah, they were scrounging for stuff clearly, and I think it's come at Joe's expense, and that sort of sucks. So, I don't know. Yeah, Joe's got to go. This isn't the place, girl.
Don't be mean to people on the internet.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. Don't type horrible things out about anybody and then post it. Just don't. Text your girlfriends.
So, at this Hotel Ziggy party, Katie approaches Sheena about what she found out from Lala. Ooh. And I have some questions.
Okay, go.
So Katie says, I found out this is what happened. And Sheena's immediate response is, that's not true. It wasn't a makeout. He pulled me to the corner and tried to kiss me. But then in every other like instance in the show where Sheena is referencing this thing, she does call it a makeout.
Oh, yeah. I think she downplayed it. For
which,
Katie.
Honestly, to me, makes everything worse.
I agree.
Just, like, yeah, it's not great that it's coming out now. You and Katie have definitely had a rocky past. It's not the funnest thing to admit to, but I would have so much more respect for Sheena if she was just like, yeah, he pulled me aside and started kissing me and we made out and I really regret it. These are the reasons why I didn't tell you. End of story.
Yeah, because I do think that there is a world exists where, like, I also understand why Sheena didn't tell Katie.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I get
especially
it.
Especially when it happened on the show, they were enemies.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that would have been Katie might have murdered Sheena. I don't know.
Schwartz
should have told Katie. And I do understand Katie's hurt of it being Sheena, too. Like, man, it's so complicated and it's messy. And it's like, this is why you don't make out with people that you know if you're in relationships. Like, just don't.
I just think if Sheena had just owned up to it and been like, that was fucked up. And I know it's a long time ago, but I am sorry. And just allowed Katie to feel her feels.
And validate Katie's feelings.
Yeah, there's probably a much easier way forward than being like, oh, it wasn't like really a makeout.
Yeah, she downplayed it. And then, yeah, Sheena doing Sheena things.
It was very confusing.
It was. Tom deciding that he needed to talk to Ariana.
Oh, my God. That was so cringy to watch.
It was. And then you find out, like, so Tom approaches Ariana and it was like, did you maybe, like, get that email that I
oh my God.
Sent? And she's like, yeah, my lawyer has it. Fuck off. She doesn't say fuck off.
And then
but
she
like,
stops looking at him.
Yeah.
And he's just talking to her profile.
Yeah. And
Katie's face was killing me.
Yeah.
Because she was, like, looking from an Ariana to Tom and being like, oh my God, please leave.
Yeah, get out of here. Read the room. It was so bad. And it kills me because then we find out in the after show that it was like a really informal email. There was no like actual drafted
there
legal
was no
offer.
Home appraisal.
Yeah. Nothing about it was legitimate.
Nothing about the furniture.
Yeah. It was just a one off like, hey, I'll pay you $3 million. And rightfully Ariana being like, well, where the fuck are you going to get $3 million? Because if Tom is struggling so much, how is he going to do that? I guess you could refinance the house. But again, that's when you need an appraisal. Just assuming the house would sell for $3 million is...
It was not a legit offer.
No. Bottom line, it just was garbage. And why would she take that seriously? And why did Tom think that that was the inroads to talking to Ariana?
Oh my gosh. His approach was as cringy as his outfit. I could not figure out the like aloe hat with like the backless blazer... With the high top platform shoes.
I hate him in those shoes so much.
I don't dislike the shoes. I feel like there's times where they make sense. And I think any guy that's willing to put on a pair of platforms, like, hell yeah. But, and I will say that, like, sometimes I think Tom Sandoval dresses really well. This, on the other hand, was not one of those occasions. I could not figure out his vibe.
Yeah, I get that. So that was super awkward.
Yeah, super awkward.
Tom's an idiot. Anything else happen at Hotel Ziggy?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Oh my gosh. Then we go to the sandwich shop.
The one time we both agree that Lala was right of like, what are we doing?
Like, why are we doing this again? We did this last season.
We didn't need to do a whole legitimate tasting. Just like, come see the place.
Yeah, it was cute to see the inside.
It is so cute on the inside.
Yeah.
But... otherwise,
like, we know the sandwiches.
Yeah, we just don't need to be
tasting them again.
Yeah, in such like a formal like, oh, well, this is this one and this is this one. Just
even Ken Todd was like, again?
Again?
Like, why are we? And Ken Todd doesn't say anything, but he was throwing shade at the sandwiches.
Yeah, it was weird for sure. Their sandwiches look good.
Yeah, I would love to go.
I'm looking up right now really quick. I have all these aspirations of being really on the ball with like the Reddit tea, and it hasn't happened yet. My shit may never be together, but I read that now a hiccup for something about her is Penny, the sandwich chef, has either trademarked or put a patent on something about her. And so now Katie and Ariana are having to deal with a business partner gone rogue.
Jeez.
Well, so everybody giving them shit for this, like, I do understand. But then also I know that they have really experienced a lot of difficulty in dealing with local government. And that area specifically is really hard with those kinds of things. And then on top of that, now the Penny situation, it's not looking good for the sandwich shop.
Well, and Lisa's saying that they've paid rent there for over a year and they're just dumping money into an empty space.
Yeah, it's also believable then why Ariana doesn't want to have to move out and pay for an apartment and do all this other stuff. Like, I know business stuff is separate, but I just can't imagine sort of like going under on a sandwich shop that isn't opening and also being confronted with like having to move out and live somewhere else. So that was wild.
I also am so over everyone saying like, well, Ariana should just move out.
Get out of here with that. I'm so sick of it too. I never move out. If you have a cheating partner, don't you dare move out of that house.
Or say like, Tom should move out. Why does Ariana have to fucking move out?
Exactly. You don't leave your house and the cheater can leave. Period. End of story. Like, yeah, I'm so over that. Lala is, I guess we can get into this.
Why isn't Lala telling Tom he should move out?
Yeah.
Why is it all on Ariana? I just don't get it.
The show is definitely very misogynistic, and like you can tell that they don't like the women in this show. And I think the way that they're coming at Katie and Ariana right now is just not a good look for the show.
So the Lala and Tom Sandoval conversation is very, or I shouldn't say conversation. I feel like there's a new like narrative starting where they're like all of a sudden trying to bridge this gap that has existed between them during the entirety of their relationship on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. Like, when I was watching this, I felt like I was transported into a parallel universe where I was watching the same show but different character relationships, because I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah.
This makes no sense.
It doesn't. Lala pursuing this, I thought her conversation with Tom was very telling to me. And so kind of my theory on this, with her distrusting straight men, struggling to have good relationships with them, I think is very valid.
Yeah.
Tom and Tom are not it. Like, they're maybe not the level of pieces of shit that your ex-husband or ex-fiance is, but like, they need their feet held to the fire and need to be held accountable. And like, you making friends with them is not the healing move that you think it is. It's making her almost an apologist for that kind of behavior. And I think that I believe that Lala is doing work in therapy and is trying to find peace, but is struggling to balance accountability with just like letting everything go so that she doesn't feel any inner turmoil, and then projecting that onto Ariana, who has not had the same amount of time to process. And I think this is where therapy can get weaponized and be really unhelpful, is when people think their experience in therapy should directly translate to everybody else that they meet. And if people aren't going on the same journey, then they're doing it wrong. So I believe that Lala believes where she's at, but also it's so fucked to watch. It's like, this is not how this should go.
Yeah, and I feel like there's other ways to feel less angry than making amends with Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Did you listen to Rachel Goes Rogue episode about forgiveness?
No.
Forgiveness, she brought somebody on to talk about this, is actually about you. And it has nothing to do with the person that has like wronged you or done something. You know, you forgive for your own peace of mind, but that also doesn't mean that you have to let them in your life or accept them or change anything that you're doing with them at all. And so I think Lala kind of feeling as though she's got to forgive Tom means letting Tom back into the fold. And it's like, you can forgive Tom and not be angry, but that doesn't mean that you give him a pass and like are going to start this budding friendship.
Yeah.
I'm so floored by that, because where is this energy for Ariana?
Yes. And so Lala takes this conversation. Well, she goes to Sir.
Oh, my God.
And proceeds to tell Ariana, like, oh, you know, Tom invited me to this breathwork thing and we sat down and have a conversation. I will say Ariana's facial expressions to everything Lala was telling her was like, what the actual fuck? But she was like, you could tell she was feeling that, but she was trying to mask it and not just like freak the fuck out on Lala. So she's like controlling her like emotions and trying to just like listen to what Lala has to say. And Lala ends it with, you know, it was like one of the most productive conversations I've ever had with him, or some bullshit like that. And Ariana was like, oh, okay, well, the reason why I wasn't at the house was because I was at the emergency vet, because Tom went into my room when I wasn't home and proceeded to leave the dog shut in my room with these to-go boxes, which, I mean, I don't know why she has a bunch of to-go boxes on her nightstand, but they were there, and the dog proceeded to eat a bunch of, like, chicken skewers.
Yeah, well, and the chicken bones, and so she had to take the dog to the vet and had a $6,000 vet bill.
Yeah, like an endoscopy.
And Tom's just, like, laying on the floor screaming, doing his meditative breath work with, and, like, zero concern for the fact that Ariana's dog could have died.
And becoming friends with Lala.
Yeah, and I'm with Ariana. If you mess with my pets, you might as well just kiss any relationship we have goodbye. Like, that to me is just the death knell.
And Lala having the gall to be like, Ariana, I really think you need to try to have this conversation. And Ariana's response being, I would slit his throat and be arrested for murder.
Yeah, like, how much more disrespect does Ariana really have to endure? Like, he's already shown that he doesn't give a fuck about her in the fact that the way that he's cheated on her. He's showing zero remorse for the end of this relationship or the way that he treated her. He's only sad about Rachel. And then to do that to the dog and not, like,
also his dog.
Yeah, and to not be at the emergency vet with Ariana, or at least sitting in the parking lot waiting to find out. I don't know, like, fuck Tom Sandoval. Like, Ariana owes him nothing, and I do not understand why specifically Lala cannot seem to grasp that. That blows my fucking mind.
Sit down, Lala.
Yeah, we're done.
I do not know what's happening.
I don't either. Some more messiness happens. Katie, we get a little flashback. Katie can, like, tell Schwartz she knows that he and Sheena made out, and she's not over it. And, you know, she's razzing Schwartz about it while they're at Sir. And he compares her to a dog.
Yeah.
Which, fuck you. Ugh. And then goes over.
Also, the men on this show just expect women to drop things. Like, they just don't want them to feel about anything about it. They don't want them to be angry. They don't want them to be hurt. They're just like, get over it. That's not how it works.
No. And especially with Ariana and Katie, who have been in very long-term relationships with these fools, it makes me so mad that nobody is willing to listen to their experience and believe them.
Yeah.
It is shocking to me. Like, oh, Katie being with Schwartz for, what, 13, 12 years is, like, not enough for her to be able to call out his bullshit when she sees it. Ariana being with Tom for almost 10 and everybody just being like, well, maybe you're reading the room wrong. No.
I don't think they're reading the room wrong.
God, it's so infuriating. So that leads into another problem. You know, Schwartz goes to complain to Brock, who also over Brock. Get out of here. Brock then is like, well, you know, Katie slept with your buddy Max.
Which, when he said your boy, at first I was so confused.
We're like, Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? And then it, like, cut to commercials and then it came back. And then he's like, yeah, you know. And Schwartz immediately guessed Max. And I was like, wait, hold the phone. Like, Max from season 8, Max? You know, Max, yep. Assistant manager at TomTom, Max?
Yep, Max.
And so, one, I didn't know Schwartz and Max were, like, BFFs. And then we actually also saw Max on the Valley at the guys' night. So Max is still very much mixed up in this Vanderpump world. But then Tom proceeds to label it as a revenge bang.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, probably is, maybe it is. I don't know. It doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, like, Tom made out with Raquel.
I was going to say, I respect it. I hope it was a revenge bang.
Yeah, and I hope the sex was really good.
Yeah, I hope it was great.
But it made me mad how, heated Tom and Brock were. They're like, oh my God. And it's like, okay.
Well, I mean, Tom should be more mad at Max than Katie.
Yeah, Katie's your ex-wife. She doesn't owe you jack shit, buddy. Max, on the other hand, what's that guy doing? Because if you guys are buds, he did cross a line.
Yeah, I don't know. I found the whole thing hilarious.
But then Sheena.
Okay, let's talk about the location of it all.
The location of it all. I feel like I can say this because my mom probably doesn't listen. But like, my mom had a problem with like find my friends and like paying attention to where my brother and I were. And I was just like, I can't do this location thing. That's a hard no for me. Like, nobody gets to know where my location is. I don't have it anymore because I don't have an iPhone. But like, it is weird to me when people just allow others to have their location. And not for like seedy purposes, but just like, I don't know, I don't need to be tracked.
I have friends that do it, and I don't know if I care that much about it. But I do think that Sheena having 56 people's location is strange. And it leads to other questions of if Sheena's had people's locations this entire time. And I'm sure you guys have seen some stuff about this on Instagram or TikTok, but how was she not catching that Tom and Raquel were together so much when they were having an affair?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
I have a little theory that Sheena might have known and was just like, I don't know, maybe upset that she wasn't told officially or is somehow more upset about not knowing about it. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but yeah, it's weird. It's weird, and I think Sheena has more involvement than we know.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. 56 people. That's so many locations.
That's a lot of locations.
So many.
And if you're just, like, casually checking up on people when you get home.
Yeah, also rude. And, like, that's a huge invasion of Katie's privacy of, like, Katie isn't sharing her location, so you also don't need to be sharing that information with other people. I don't know. That was not okay to me.
Guys, so much happened in this episode.
Yeah. Well, and then the cherry on top is Lala being like, ugh, Katie. I was like, Lala, shut up and sit down. But she gets up and leaves because she can't believe these people. I was like, well, good. We can't believe you either.
We can't believe you. What's happening?
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, okay, something happened, and then more things kept happening, and I was like, wait, like the episode's still going? I was incredulous because we have had nothing this season, and then all of a sudden it was like a very bountiful gift box full of craziness.
Yeah, we get Ziggy, we get another sandwich tasting where everybody like came together for, then we get Sir. We have all these lunches where people are divulging things.
Man, I don't know if it was like production, like sat everyone down and was like, hey.
Get your shit together.
We're making a television show and so far nothing has happened.
Yeah. But they delivered, so.
And Schwartz is like, okay, I have a secret that I can divulge and it will really stir the pot.
And it did.
I think it's pretty fucking crazy that happened so long ago and we're just now finding out about it.
Yeah. What's your theory?
Well, I mean, I question if it ever actually really happened. But then when they did the flashback showing Katie confront him about Sheena saying he made out with someone and he's like, that's not true. Or I don't know. He says something.
Yeah, he kind of panicked. You could see it. But there's another moment where Sheena yells at him, you're just a guy who likes to make out with women in bars.
Yeah.
And Schwartz loses it and calls her like a bootleg Kardashian or something. And so like, I think that there are a few little things about it where I'm just like, yeah, I think it did happen.
That's pretty crazy then that it stayed under the radar for that long.
They are at least smart enough to know the trouble they would have been in. Do you have anything else for Vanderpump?
Nope.
All right.
The Bachelor.
We're going to move to The Bachelor. Okay. So Women's Tell All is Mandy's and my least favorite episode. And I feel terrible that we powered through it last week and then we didn't even have anything to share.
I really feel like they should reformat this episode. I don't think anyone enjoys watching it.
No, because very little comes out and it's not very enjoyable to watch women scream at each other on stage. Like, it's just such a bad look for the show, for these women, just generally is not it. I guess one thing that stuck out with me that I forgot that I did want to mention is I really appreciate Lauren taking responsibility for telling Leia to shut the fuck up. Thank you, Lauren, for solving that.
That was great. I even struggled with Maria in the tell-all.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look for anybody, really. I'm with you on that.
Everything just feels really performative and over the top. I don't know if I believe the apologies. It makes me not like girls that I liked. I don't know. It's just a really hard thing to watch.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and we did talk about this last week, as I feel really, really disappointed with the way that they handled the racism that Rachel experienced. And
well, yeah, they completely minimized it.
Yeah. You posted some really great things about that on Instagram. And one of the things that I just want to bring back up is, like, this is why the notion of intersectionality matters, is because women experience sexism, but women of color and Black women also experience racism on top of that. And when you've got those two things stacked together, it makes for a really, really terrible thing. And you've got, you know, it is racism. And the show's refusal to say that or acknowledge that, and Jesse sort of opening it up to all lives matter or all women.
Like, all women are experiencing hate.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, that can be a thing for sure. But, like, that's not this moment. And that was really disappointing. And I don't know if Rachel got asked to be Bachelorette and said no, or just, like, I don't know. I hope she leaves this show and is happy and finds better things outside of horrible people who messaged her racist things.
Yeah, it's hard because I feel like the show takes one step forward in the right direction and then they do stuff like this where they take two steps back.
Yeah.
Like, and it's hard as someone who wants to see a very traditional conservative show be a little bit more open-minded and progressive, it's hard to have the patience when it's like, oh, yay, growth. Okay. And then it's like, oh, what?
Yeah, sorry, we're out of 2020. We only cared about that for 1 year. Versus, like, no, why aren't we bringing somebody in to discuss this? Like, to educate the audience on why this kind of thing isn't okay and, like, how we can all collectively do better and ways to support women of color, Black women on these shows.
They have done stuff like that in the past, but then in these instances, they're really dropping the ball. Yeah. And it's like that stuff never happened. And they're not prioritizing the same messaging, which would actually create a huge cultural difference on the show.
Which does make me kind of nervous for Jen. And I hope the show protects her and goes out of its way for her.
Well, they didn't really do that for Matt James or
Rachel Lindsay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens.
I know. Ugh. But you got your Jen season.
Okay, you guys, I really wanted it to be Jen, and I thought there was no way in hell it was going to be Jen.
And here we are.
Mandy lost.
Mandy lost her shit. She was pumped. Like, I was so excited. Just for Mandy. I mean, Jen is going to be great for sure.
I think she'll make a great Bachelorette.
I think so, too. I think I'm pumped. I'm excited. And I love that for her. And I hope that she has a really good experience of, you know, the show. And I'm excited for her that she knows how much representation matters. And I think she takes that seriously. And
it bums me out how much hate she's already getting online.
No.
Yeah. A lot of people are not excited about Jen. They want it to be Maria or I don't know. Obviously, Daisy had the option and she said she wasn't ready to do it. But I think it's a bummer that she's starting this journey with so much controversy and hate.
Me too. That sucks. That also doesn't surprise me, but it sucks. Well, fuck all of them. If you're not excited for Jen, you're dumb. Okay, but let's go back. Sorry, I got ahead of myself, but we meet Joey's family.
I love his family.
Seriously, his mom, you turn to me and you're like, this is why Joey is the way he is. I'm like, yep. His mom was asking questions and then follow up and listening and
holding space, crying.
Yeah.
Like, what a mom.
What an amazing mom. Amazing woman. The family really liked Daisy.
Yeah. On the show, it's not uncommon for the family to prefer the person that the lead is not going to pick.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I have no nothing.
I don't know if it's the lead is so nervous that their energy is kind of making it harder to connect with the person that they're going to pick, or if, you know, it seemed like the connection between Daisy and Joey's mom was really natural and organic.
Yeah.
And Daisy was really openly putting herself out there and was like, if he got down on one knee, I would say yes. She was like 100%. She was willing to show all of that love and dedication. Whereas Kelsey's answers were a little bit more like, it was obvious that she was so in love with him and cared about him, but she was a little bit more like, yeah, I think I would say yes. And I, you know, a little, there was more hesitancy around some of her responses. And, you know, obviously knowing what Joey's biggest insecurities are and his family wanting to protect him, I think that is why they tended to align more with Daisy. But I don't know.
I just thought of something, though. Daisy really had nothing to lose in that moment, though, because I think Daisy already knew that it wasn't going to be her. And I think so for her to be able to go in, she just was sort of like,
I don't think she completely knew. I think she was suspecting.
Yeah, at that moment, she suspected. But yeah. I do think that that changes, like, sort of the pressure.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good
So I wonder if she just wasn't, if she was just able to go in a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more open and honest about things because she sort of was processing that already and was just like, well.
I feel like it'd be the opposite, though. I feel like if I had those doubts and insecurities about it, like really thinking it might not be me, then I wouldn't be able to go in and be 100% with his family.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, so I don't know.
This was the first time I felt like Daisy did really love him or was like in love with the idea of him or like really, I believed her in all these moments.
Yeah, I did
and
too.
And so I also, I don't know. It was good that she was able to get it all out there, I guess.
Yeah. And so her meeting Joey's family went great. And then they have this date where they do it like traditional like steam thing. I don't know. What would you call that?
Yeah,
it was like a ceremony.
Yeah, a ceremonial sweat lodge.
Yeah, sweat lodge. There you go.
I felt so bad for Daisy in this date because she was already starting to feel panicked about whether or not Joey was choosing her.
She really wanted to talk to him.
And she couldn't talk. Yeah. I would be like exploding. Like, I don't know how she sat through all of that. That would have been impossible. And I was really sad that her date did not. Why did that date not allow for them to talk more? I guess maybe probably by design. They're like, well, we got to keep people guessing.
Yeah, and maybe Joey, I don't know if the lead gets to pick, but I would assume they get some say in like, okay, these are the two dates. Which one do you want to take one of them on? And Joey probably wants to be on the date where he can't do as much talking with Daisy because he knows he's not going to pick Daisy.
Yeah, that is
don't
obvious. Absolutely. That's a really good point because, man, Joey, despite what he thought was his best effort, and it probably was Joey's best effort, it fooled no one.
I actually think that he was intentionally showing signs because he doesn't want to blindside Daisy.
Oh, yeah. Well, like when they threw the little wishes into the fire and nothing about it was the future with Daisy or the future. It was just like, I hope we both find happiness. I hope that good things come to both of us.
Mayday, mayday.
Yeah, abort, abort. This is, wow. And like Daisy knew. Like yeah. She turned and he picked up on it too because they had that like quiet little moment of he's like, hey, are you okay? And she's just like, yeah. I'm fine. Okay. It's like, she's not fine.
So then we go to the evening portion.
Oh, my God.
So it's like the last night they spend together before the finale. And she just is really open about her feelings.
Yeah.
And she tells him that she is in love with him. And she just puts it all out there. And, oh, God, when she says that she loves him and he puts his hand on her leg and, like,
pushes himself away. The distance he created was palpable. I just like, and she knew.
And then he starts talking and he starts saying, I don't even remember exactly what he was saying, but basically it was like, I really appreciate you showing up for all of this. And I know it's been really hard and you've been amazing through all of it. And I just like,
I'm so grateful that you've shown me who you are and you've like, and nothing about it is like reassuring. It's all just sort of like apology coded conversation without outright being
it's
like
very telling without saying what he's saying.
Yeah. It's again, no talk of the future,
no validation.
No validation. Just like somebody's gonna get hurt.
Blink, blink, blink.
Yeah.
Squeezing her knee.
Yeah. Oh God.
And you could just see Daisy physically like starting to shut down. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, our girl's not dumb.
I think I was watching that entire scene with a grimace.
Oh, I know. It was hard. Like, neither one of us could be quiet watching it. It was just like, oh no. Oh no.
God.
It's happening.
And I will say, I wish that Joey had just ended things with Daisy there, kind of like Gary did with Leslie.
Yeah.
Of like, I would rather do this with you now because I know what's going to happen tomorrow and I respect you too much to make you like do that walk and stand in front of me. So I wish he would have done that. Unfortunately, because Joey is such a people pleaser, I think he does tend to cater to production's needs.
Oh, for sure.
And so I felt like he was doing the best he could, like trying not to lead her on, but also aligning with what production wanted.
Right. I would agree with that. I also think it's really hard. You know, I know we reference Nick Viall's podcast a lot, but I think this is always one of the things I appreciate so much about it is giving the like behind the scenes or kind of explaining all of that. But then also like production lays out rules. And so both contestants and the lead, unless you're feeling really emboldened, oftentimes are sort of siloed into feeling like they've just got to do what they've been told to do.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, it's a bummer that he didn't, but it also makes sense why he didn't. Like we've seen this type of thing before.
And some leads will do whatever they want, right? And that's great television. I love when people break the mold and do something that they're not supposed to do. But I also just don't think Joey's that person.
Turns out Daisy's that person.
Yeah.
I love that she. So that night wraps up. I guess we can talk about Kelsey's day date, which was a spa.
Yeah.
And it looked like they had a lot of fun. And
I mean, I think it's a little awkward that they were getting their like feet exfoliated and
by well, like that woman, like that was not ergonomical for that person doing that. That was awful. Get better things for these people who are working. What are we doing?
That was awkward.
But their night portion was so different.
The
validation that Kelsey got was just it like night and day.
The way he looked at her, the way he kissed her after she told him how in love with him she was.
Yeah, it was so obvious.
How he
could
like see a future with her.
Yeah,
it was so obvious.
So obvious.
It was as much as I love Kelsey, it was like kind of hard to watch after what Daisy went through.
Yeah,
it was like, oh God. But Kelsey and Joey are really cute together.
So cute together. I think those crazy kids are going to make it.
Like, I think so too.
They really do seem to just be so into each other. And they're both like calm, cool, casual folks who are like, I don't know. I'm excited for them.
Me too.
But damn, Daisy's womanly intuition. We got to talk about it.
Wait, real quick.
Oh, okay.
Kelsey in the blue dress that night.
Yeah.
Just had to give a... Her hair, she had that blue, like, Greek goddess dress.
Right.
Oh, my God. She looked amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Humidity is her friend.
Yeah.
Daisy's intuition.
Yeah.
I think you and I, like, all women have experienced this. We know.
Yeah.
We know because we pay attention. We have to. We read between the lines. We pick up on every nuance of, like, the way things are going. Like
energy.
Yeah. In part by design, because guys won't communicate these things, so we have to read it ourselves.
Yep.
And not saying we're always right, but like we always know something's going on. We just don't know what.
Yes.
Yeah.
So at the rose ceremony.
So Rachel goes home and it's Daisy and Kelsey, and Daisy says that she saw a look between them.
And that's when seeds of doubt.
Yeah, she started, and then the day portion of their date, and then by the time that they got to...
A look can be very powerful.
Whoa, yeah. Yes. And so watch out where your eyeballs go. Yeah, for sure. So like, I thought that was, I'm glad she shared that. I thought that was pretty wild. And like, also that, yeah, that tracks.
So the look combined with her date, combined with her evening portion where she got no validation.
Yeah.
Leads Daisy to just go talk to Kelsey and ask her how her experience has been.
Yeah.
And you guys, this has never happened on the show. So this is a big deal.
I was really conflicted initially. I was like, whoa. And, you know, by the end of the show, I love that Daisy did this. But in the moment, it's like, oh, no, what are you doing? Like, is this going to end up making it seem like Joey's choosing Kelsey by default? But no, because it was so obvious. Like, that was never a question. And Daisy navigates this with so much grace, and so does Kelsey.
Yeah, I was a little worried if it was going to put Kelsey in an awkward position.
Like a defensible, like she had to like, and instead Kelsey just was like, she recognized that Daisy in good faith was asking like, what was last night for you? And when Kelsey was able to say, I got so much validation, there was all of this. And poor Daisy's just like,
as soon as she said that, it was like, Daisy knows.
Daisy knows. And I love Daisy for it. And then she's just like, okay, well, I want you to have all the reassurance that it's you. And it was just like, girl, way to go.
And they really care about each other. Like, I could tell that they legitimately do have a friendship.
Yeah. I turned to you and I was like, you know, I think if I were going to be on this show, I would rather be in it with somebody that I had a really good relationship with, like that with, than somebody that I didn't like.
Oh, for sure.
Because, right, Daisy can be like, I respect Joey's decision.
Yeah, you can be more at peace with it.
Yeah, you're like, that makes sense that he chose Kelsey. Like, we are both great and I'm good with him choosing her.
Yeah.
And so, man, that was tender. That was sweet. I am here for that. That was amazing.
And so then the women go to the finale together in the car holding hands. And what a wild scene. Like, it really is crazy. And Daisy gets out of the car. And I think Joey like says some things to her, and then she basically says, I know that it's not me.
And Joey breaks down. I think just like having to hold that in. Whoa. Yeah. Joey let that out.
But I just want to say it is so impressive to watch Daisy maintain her power and her integrity. And she handled all of this with such grace.
Yeah.
And I haven't always been the biggest Daisy fan, but the way she navigated this finale was just really impressive.
Yeah, I think this was a side of Daisy we haven't been able to see. And I think, you know, and we encounter this so often, is that like personalities get neutered and storylines don't really come through. And I think that they probably really pigeonholed Daisy into having to be her disability rather than giving Daisy an opportunity to really be just a woman looking for love too. And not that, you know, her cochlear implant doesn't have a part of that, but it just felt like we missed getting to see this side of Daisy more. And I'm sad about that.
Me
because
too.
She is incredibly strong, smart, articulate, like
capable.
Yeah. So many things that like, why did you not show us this? I loved that.
And I feel so relieved that she recognizes that she's not ready to take on the role of Bachelorette and that she wants to like have her own experiences and maybe learn more about like what she's looking for in a partner and learn more about herself in that process. I just think it's so, so awesome that she's doing that for her and she's in tune with what she needs instead of jumping to being the Bachelorette after all of this.
Yeah, I have all the respect for her for that.
Yes.
I was like, we love to see it. I would love it if they would come back and ask Daisy in a couple years to be Bachelorette.
That would be
like,
awesome.
Let's do that, please. Give her some time to exist as she is, and then let's give Daisy a season.
Yeah. And, you know, Jess and I have been very much like anti-Daisy Bachelorette on the podcast.
Mostly because it's like we don't really want another white Christian woman looking for a husband when we've seen that and we want the show to evolve. But then for her to be like, well, no, I need time. Like, wow, okay, she's breaking out of the mold. She's proving us wrong. She's not following.
Yeah, there's a lot more to Daisy than we've been able to see.
Absolutely.
And she's going to just keep growing, and her taking the time that she needs to prioritize herself is going to make, if and when we get to see more of Daisy, her so much easier to root for and be like someone that you want to be invested in.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. I was so impressed by her. I'm excited for things to come for her.
Yay. Go Daisy.
Go Daisy. And then, you know, Joey and Kelsey. Get out of here.
They're in love.
So in love. So beautiful.
So cute.
So nerdy.
I mean, there's not even a lot to say there except that I love them together. I'm happy he picked Kelsey.
Yeah. It's exciting. It feels like we got a really good ending for once in like the past little while.
Okay, I heard this on Juliet's podcast. Did you know that Kelsey's nipple was showing like for 3 minutes during the after the final rose?
Really? When they were sitting
there? That's what her and Callie said. And they said it wasn't edited out.
Whoa.
And I didn't notice it.
As much as I joke sometimes about looking at boobs, apparently I don't spend that much time looking at boobs. I never even noticed.
I know. I didn't either.
I was probably just like so blown away by her beautiful eyes and her Farrah Fawcett like 70s hair ponytail that I couldn't look at anything else.
I had no idea. But apparently, I mean, that's a pretty big deal if she was being exposed and they didn't notice it and edit it out.
Yeah, ABC, what are we doing?
Anyways, side note.
Side note.
All right. Well, then they announce that it's Jen.
Ah.
And you already know our feelings on that.
So excited.
I'm just happy that Bachelor Nation is mixing things up. They're taking another step forward, so we'll probably take another couple steps back.
Oh yeah, be prepared. This was a very good season of The Bachelor, though. I actually feel like this is maybe, I haven't watched the show in its entirety, but of everything I've seen, this is my favorite season.
This has been the best season we've had in a really long time. And it's going to be really hard to see a season with a lead that you're rooting for as much as we rooted for Joey.
Yeah, I know. That's a hard thing to do, and Joey navigated that so well. Props to him. So that's so fun.
Great season. So now, it was a great finale.
It was a great finale.
A lot of things happened.
That was so fun.
I do think that they played up the, like, this has never happened before a lot, which isn't that surprising. But I was pleased with, like, what it ended up being.
Me too. I was worried, like, it was good.
And
it wasn't devastation.
Women,
yes,
and supporting each other through a really hard thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved that Kelsey was like, everyone thinks it's a competition and they're just trying to pit us against each other, but she can be beautiful and strong and that doesn't take away from me being beautiful and strong or something like that.
Everybody take note. Like, this is how we do it. Yeah. We are not inherently in competition with each other.
Yeah, I thought that was a really lovely note to end on.
Yeah, I thought so too. Well, that's The Bachelor for now. We have Vanderpump in the Valley.
And we'll talk about other things that we want to cover maybe.
Yeah. We'll have a discussion. We'll have a meeting.
Yeah.
And figure that out. But we really appreciate you guys listening. If you could rate us, review us, tell your friends about us, we would be so, so grateful. And we're grateful for everybody who's been along on this journey so far. And
we're really sorry about last week, guys.
I am really sorry about last week. Manny doesn't need to be apologizing, but like, damn.
The team effort, and we're sorry.
Saul and I fucked that up. I learned that when the recording device is not behaving normally, say something. But I ignored it because I was like, it doesn't matter. But you know what? If something's being weird, call it out. That's a lesson I learned, so.
Thanks for your patience and for listening. We love you guys.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Drama Bonded is produced and hosted by Jessica Brumbaugh and Mandy Booth. Graphic designer is Pigeon House. Special thanks to everybody who has downloaded and listened to us. We are so, so grateful for your support. Thank you.